Arizona has the second lowest rate of childhood obesity in the country, according to a new analysis. The data from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation show Arizona's rate of obesity among 10 to 17-year-olds is 10.2%. That's compared to the national average of 16.2%. But those rates are generally higher among kids in lower-income families, as well as Black, Native American, and Hispanic children. The data come from 2019 to 2020. With me to talk about the numbers and what they mean is Giridhar Mallya, Senior Policy Officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And let's start with some context here. How does the national average now compare to years past?
There are two ways to look at this. The first is that from these data that we're reporting on that are from the National Survey of Children's Health, the rates of about 1 in 6 have been fairly constant over the past 5 years. But when we look at some other data, we're seeing that rates of childhood obesity have likely risen over the past year or so in association with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, they were stuck at home and not really able to go and, you know, play youth sports, things like that. What are some of the specific problems, I guess, that the pandemic caused for kids maybe getting into this category?
Yeah, I think there was some concern that rates of childhood obesity would increase during the pandemic. And now some of the findings are bearing that out, maybe at even greater increases than we would have thought. The idea is that a number of different factors may be affecting obesity rates during the COVID-19 pandemic. The first is that kids are being less physically active, whether it's in their neighborhood or associated with a community sports league or even through school sports. So that's one. Two, we know that kids are, particularly kids in lower income families, are likely eating more more food and more high calorie foods that can contribute to obesity. So they don't have their normal routines, right? Getting up and having breakfast at home or having breakfast at school and being able to follow that routine that does contribute to healthy eating over the course of the day. But then we're even seeing things like poor sleep. Kids are families are under a lot of stress. Their routines, as I mentioned before, have been disrupted. And we know all those things can affect sleep and that sleep is a determinant of obesity risk in children.
You mentioned meals specifically at school, and I'm wondering how much of a role that might have played where, you know, there are a lot of students who rely on school for one or more meals per day. And we kept hearing stories during, especially early in the pandemic, schools really struggling to meet that need to keep kids fed who rely on schools. How much did that maybe play a role here?
I think it plays a really significant role. You know, first, we know that school foods over time have become healthier through policies set both at the federal, state, and local levels, and that kids are actually consuming those healthier foods. So first is really just that kids have access to healthy meals, and in some cases, healthier meals than they may even be having at home or in community settings. The second is that, and you alluded to this, the meals provide food security. As you said, many kids get free or reduced cost lunch and even breakfast at school. So it's a key thing that helps them stay fed over the course of the day and over the course of the school year. We know that food insecurity, this may seem paradoxical, but food insecurity is a risk factor for obesity.
Let me ask you about the numbers that you found for Arizona, which were quite good. In fact, one of the best lowest scores in terms of childhood obesity, just a little more than 10% of kids in Arizona classified as being obese. I'm wondering what it is about states like Arizona that had such low rates. It might be different from states that had higher rates.
Yeah, from the data that we have, it's really hard to pinpoint what exactly accounts for one state's lower or higher rates than another. But a few things to keep in mind generally when we look at differences in states. The first is that there are different demographic patterns in states. I mentioned at the beginning that rates of obesity are highest among low-income children and children of color. So the distribution of kids based on those demographic factors can affect levels of obesity. I think the second is looking at the broader community and statewide culture of being active and being able to get outdoors. And part of that, as I mentioned before, is community safety. Can kids even go out and play, whether it's in their backyard or on the street in front of them? I think a third thing to keep in mind is that state level policies do matter. School meals are something that the framework for how healthy school meals are set at the federal level. But then states and localities, local school districts have discretion as well. And whether it's based on food policy or policy around increasing access to safe places to play, those things at the state and local level can also make a difference.
So when you talk about policy in terms of trying to bring these numbers down, how much of that has to come from the federal government, the state government, and how much of it maybe comes from schools or individual teachers or parents, you know, people like that?
Yeah, this is one of those issues where it is an all of the above answer. We all have a role to play really in ensuring that kids are healthy. And these levels of obesity, I think, are reflective of larger challenges and opportunities that kids face to be healthy. We know that the decisions of parents and caregivers really matter, but we also know that people's decisions are often influenced to a great degree by the resources that they have available to them. So there are a few policies that we point to as a National Health Foundation as being particularly important. The first is that kids, particularly low-income kids, continue to have access to free school meals. That has been a policy that has been in place during the COVID-19 pandemic, and we believe it's one that should continue. The second is a policy change in the WIC program. So the WIC program is a national program that provides access to healthy and fresh foods for pregnant women and for young children. The two changes that we think need to be made are, first is that for postpartum women who have had a baby, right now they're eligible for WIC 1 year beyond their delivery. We think that should be extended to 2 years and that there's good research to support that. For kids, this is the second change to the WIC program. Right now, kids are eligible up to the age of 5. That sometimes can leave a gap year between when they enter into the formal school system and have access to meals there. So we think the eligibility age for kids for the WIC program should be increased to the age of 6. So those are a couple changes that we think are particularly important to be made at the national level to see these trends turn in the direction that we want to see.
All right. That is Gira Dharmalia, Senior Policy Officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.